6-year-old Myla Bryant has a blood disease that required her to get chemotherapy and have a bone marrow transplant at Cincinnati Children's.
Myla's always been, like I said, a pretty stereotypical little girl, and she always tells people that she wants 1,000 children.
So her dad and mom didn't hesitate when presented with a possible backup plan for their daughter to have kids in the future, even though the diagnosis in itself was a bit overwhelming, according to her dad, Matthew.
A lot of paperwork signing. You do the consents, and you do all the other signing, and then someone's like, hey, what do you think about taking out your daughter's ovary? Okay. And so we kind of left it at that. So there's a lot of information. A lot of it is kind of a blur now.
It was Children's fertility navigator Olivia Friaz who introduced the idea to the Bryants and explained the specifics. She sees about 7 to 10 new patients a week.
Parents definitely at first, of course, there's so many emotions. Their child just got diagnosed with a malignancy, or maybe they have found some type of blood disorder that's going to warrant them a BMT. But you know, at the end of the day, parents are very enlightened when they hear about this information, and they are, thankful for hearing about this.
The Children's Comprehensive Fertility Care and Preservation Program team has been together since 2009, and today only a handful of hospitals offer it. Dr. Leslie Breach is director of the Division of Gynecology.
The oncology team has been supportive. So our philosophy is that every new patient to our Cancer and Blood Disorders Institute would have a fertility consult. And we would meet with them and talk what are the options for that age patient, or if the patient is after puberty or before puberty, all those have implications about what choices would be available for the patient or the family.
Breach says no patient is really too young or too old. Deciding to remove ovarian or testicular tissue or eggs or sperm depends on how great the risk from chemotherapy and radiation will be.
So for pubertal boys, we'd be talking about sperm banking for them. And then for pubertal girls, we could talk about ovary or egg freezing or oocyte freezing. Embryo freezing is not as relevant in our population right, because we're in a pediatric facility. Then we talk about prepubertal patients. For boys, they would have testicular tissue cryopreservation. And for prepubertal girls, they would have ovarian tissue cryopreservation.
As you can imagine, the removal and processing is not cheap. It can range from $5,000 to $15,000, and storage can cost $200 to $300 a year. But Dr. Breach says there are charitable organizations that help with the cost. There are also religious and cultural beliefs that go into making the decision. Since 2012, Children's has performed 40 such procedures. The families who choose to do it must agree to donate 20% of the material to research. They keep 80%.
So that 20%, you know, is going off to the research world, right? And what does that mean for the parents? Is there going to be babies running around with their, you know, their child's DNA? And that can always be a concern. And we do our best to reassure them that that is not the case at all. This is strictly for research purposes.
After the surgery, the tissue is briefly stored at Children's with pathologist assistant Seth Reisner.
So it's under lock and key, and the key is in the front, located in the other room, and the door is usually locked after night.
Then it is shipped to ReproTech, a reproductive storage facility, until the patient wants to become pregnant. Fertility preservation is still experimental, but doctors in Belgium report this year the first live birth by a 27-year-old woman who had ovarian tissue preserved when she was 13. That was before she got chemotherapy for a bone marrow transplant. In fact, Breach says with childhood cancer survival rates greater than 80%, the focus can now be on what life will be like later on for these kids.
It sometimes feels like you hear a bit of a sigh of relief when we come to talk to them about fertility, not because they were worried about fertility, but because they hear hope in your voice. They can then shift their frame of reference to, I'm not going to have my child later this year, to, oh, you're talking about my child having children in the future.
As Myla Bryant's dad mentioned, she jokingly wants to have 1,000 children. He took the fact that she wanted to be a mother into consideration when deciding to do fertility preservation.
After discussing that and the possibility, it was kind of her best shot to do that in the future. So it was a pretty simple choice after that.
Ann Thompson, 91.7 WVXU.